QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. At 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, a plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This nut is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, only announcement here is, of course, if you need more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to bbarc.org. A lot of information there on the club and all the cool stuff we do. So, also applications there for membership. Love to have you join us. Anyway, topic for this evening is we're going to start a two-part article on battery characteristics. Part one is in this month's issue of March 2013 of QST. Of course, it'll probably be sometime before the second part comes out. We'll always review a little bit of this one at that point in time and go on from there. All right, but first, let's call our roster before we move ahead, starting with WB6CLZ, Mike.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is WB6CLZ in Placentia.
Hey, good evening, Mike. Glad to have you out there. You should see this net list I have, the original one. You think it's tattered? This is the reason they invented the word tattered. Anyway, Mike, thanks for being out there. Well, how about WB6CIN, Cindy?
Good evening, Tom. This is the WB6CIN.
And good evening, Cindy. Glad to have you out there and joining us this evening. See if we have KA6CIA George.
Yep, you got him, KA6CIA.
All right, George, glad to have you with us out there in Lucerne. Appreciate you joining in. Next, moving down to KJ6HCS, Mike.
Evening, Tom, KJ6HCS, no traffic.
Mike, glad to have you out there, and a courtesy check-in for K6EKX, who is definitely related to you. All right, how about WA6ITC, Rod? Nothing heard from Rod, and that's unusual. How about KJ6FIL, Mike?
Good evening, all. KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike, from Redlands. Glad to have you with us this evening. How about KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary?
KJ6KDL here.
KJ6KDK.
Good evening, everybody. I want to thank you first for the nice card I received to get well. I'm in a good recovery. I've been twice out the last month, and it was nice and warm. But once the sundown, I have to get in. And on that, Mama is going to spank me. I got a wonderful nurse. She's a wonderful woman. I cannot find better woman. Anyway, I wish everybody a very nice evening and a very nice weekend. God bless everybody. God bless America.
Well, good evening there, Guy. Glad that you could jump in there, and I'm glad you're doing better, and glad you got that card from the club. So take care, and hey, just listen up here. We'll have a lot of good stuff on here. Anyway, alrighty, let's see, where was I here? Oh, yes. This is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group every Tuesday that we can on the K6BB repeater. Next I have on the net, I have KI6IQA Kelly.
Good evening to all, KI6IQA.
And good evening there, Kelly, thanks for being out there. How about... And no Ron out there yet this evening. How about AD6PL, Harold from Riverside? Alrighty, not hearing Harold out there yet, but I'm sure he's out there. Alrighty, how about KJ6PYV, Dave?
Good evening, Tom of the Net, KJ6PYV. Checking in, back to net control.
And good evening there, David. Glad to have you out there. Let's see if we have W6JLM and W6KMM. Either or all or none of the above. Judith and Ken from Sugarloaf.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is W6KMM, and check in W6JLM.
All right, Ken, glad to hear you out there. Got you both checked in here. Thanks for listening up this evening. Okay, next I have is, let's see, got him here, is K2BBL, Alan. All right, don't see Alan out there this evening. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Good evening, K6YNW.
And good evening there, Chris. Glad to have you join us from the lower desert down there. And glad our repeater's finally hitting you guys down there. How about W6POO Chip? Haven't heard out there from Chip. How about Ron, WA6HF? And I'm hearing Ron out there. He's also just getting over a whole bunch of sickness, and I heard him on there, finally back on the radio. So Ron, if you're listening, hope you're feeling better. Next I have KD6LAN Bill.
Good evening, Tom. KD6LAN, we'll be listening.
And good evening, Bill. Glad to have you out there. How about WA6DLB Donna? Nothing heard. How about NQ7RD? Rick, are you out there this evening? All right, nothing heard out there from Rick. And let's see here. You know what? I missed him on the first turnaround. How about K9AOG, Steven? And nothing heard. How about AE6CK, Victor?
Good evening, Tom and the group. Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
And good evening there, Victor. Glad to have you with us. Appreciate you being out there from Santa Fe Springs. Let's see if we have KA6ROD Rod from Moonridge. And I've heard everybody's probably getting ready for the storm that's coming in. How about W6JET Rob?
Good evening to the net, W6JET.
And good evening there, Rob. Glad to have you with us. Appreciate you checking in. How about KJ6RAY, Ray? All right, nothing heard from Ray out there yet this evening. I know a lot of people will join us later on. Alrighty, I'm sure I might have, hopefully I didn't miss anybody, but anybody else out there who would like to check in or somebody I've missed, sorry about that, please come back to KF6Q.
AD6PL,
Harold, glad to have you out there. Anybody else?
K6GVL, Ron, Green Valley Lake.
K6GVL, Ron, glad to have you out there with us. I knew you'd be out there. Anybody else?
KE6TLT, John from Seal Beach.
TLT, John from Seal Beach, glad to have you with us this evening. Anybody else?
W6QY, Lucerne Valley.
All right, a little broken up there, but I got a copy on you there up there from Lucerne Valley. Glad that you could be with us. Anybody else? All right, that pretty much has that. Anybody else who joins us or is listening in, feel free to ask questions, make suggestions, or comments. Do appreciate that. We try to leave time for that after we've gone through a topic area. Well, Michael, before we get started with our topic, we always do a little kind of information on solar weather affecting our radio communications. Very important. Good to have a little report going there. And any DX that's been possible, if you had time. Mike, what do you have for us this week?
Tom, the old broken record. Well, space weather at this time is reporting a sunspot number of 103 and a solar flux index of 114 solar flux units. And a little bit up from where it was, a little uptick. We did have an M-class flare go off recently, earlier today, and hopefully we'll get a little results out of that. The activity is picking up. I know we've said this and heard this before. It looks like we're kind of to the peak of cycle 24, so hopefully we'll actually get a peak. They're talking now about maybe a double peak, which is kind of exciting. So let's stand by and look for some higher activity, hopefully. No DX, Tom, been working, been busy. Back to you.
Well, Mike, thanks for the report on the solar weather. Yeah, it's hard to play radio and play work in the working world at the same time. And, hey, we do what we can do. Well, good deal. Appreciate all that. Well, anyway, anybody else out there real quick with any spectacular DX, please come back. We'll give you a little chance right in, right here, right now. And as we see that there has not been a lot of DX activity, but that's okay. Anyway, this article, battery characteristics, pretty cool. About a couple pages long here. Pretty interesting. And, of course, we're going to go over a couple little basics here with this just to help clear up some for some of us that out there that may not know the difference between the volts and the amps and the watts and the charge and the amp hours and all that good terminology. We'll just clear all that up here real quick. Well, anyway, Mike, quite often we use water as that analogy, and if anybody out there has, a lot of you already know this, so just bear with me here for a minute. The voltage of anything, the voltage is like the water pressure in your house system, your street, or whatever. That's the pressure. That's how much is pushing, wanting to push that water along. And the flow of the water of, let's just say, gallons a minute or whatever you want to call it, that would be the amps. That's how much, how many electron, let's just put it this way, that's the current flow, whether that's a flow of water, a flow of electrons, in the same analogy, amps is how much is flowing through that pipe. You can have a lot of pressure there and nothing flowing, that would be pretty much like your outlet there in the wall, a lot of power there, a lot of electricity, but nothing's flowing yet until you plug something in. Let me reset. And KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group every Tuesday that we can. Well, and watts, basically, and somebody asked me, what's that? Well, watts, essentially, is a measurement of power. So obviously, it's a combination of how much is pushing it and how much is actually flowing that push along. That's all multiply the volts times the amps. That's what you get is the watts. Very simple. Very simple and basic, and we'll move on from there. Anyway, Mike, who is it that wrote this article? It's pretty cool. This is one of the basic writers, I think, for QST, And who had this article on the top there?
This is Hands On Radio, and that's written by H. Ford Silver, N0AX. And, you know, usually they have a little bit of information about him, his degree, what he works in and everything, but I don't see it on that. So we're just going to have to go with that. He's got a monthly hands-on radio article here, and does a pretty good job. Back to you.
You know, just for those of you who do not get the QST, basically if you belong to the ARRL, you'll be getting this QST for free. It's $39 a year. The magazine alone is worth that, not alone all the other advantages. And a lot of these writers are hams, just like us. Typical articles, the doctor is in, hands-on radio. These are things that are every month to month. Short takes, electric technology, hints and kinks. All these are little articles. They always have a little bit of neat information. Good stuff. Some of the stuff is repeat information that we, you know, all know. A lot of it's pretty cool application of stuff. So this is just a little stuff on the articles and columns that are month to month. Not counting the great articles they put in always, all the time. And we try to cover as much of that as we can. We run out of month long before we run out of articles. Well, anyway, with this month on the batteries, and this is a pretty cool thing, and we picked this because basically batteries are something that we use all the time. We use them in our HTs. We have them in our car. We have them in our flashlights. We've got them in our laptops, in our, you know, everything we've got seems like it has a battery anymore. And Mike, as we get into this, there's essentially two types of batteries. I know this is not, we're going to try to follow along in his article, but might jump around a little bit here. There's two groups, and they're primary and secondary. Now, what is that all about? What does that mean?
The two classes of batteries, the primary battery is a non-rechargeable battery, like the alkalines that we all use, you know, like the old ones we used to start our model airplanes with, you know, those 1.5 volt huge round type batteries, just a single cell. And then there's the secondary batteries or rechargeable batteries, the lead acid like it's in your car, the NiCad in your HT, or the lithium ion or nickel metal hydride in your power tools, in your rechargeable power tools. And that's basically the two groups of batteries.
You know, and I think as we all know this, and the older people listening in like myself, yeah, we're going to know this even more so. At one point in time, there wasn't a big selection with the secondary or the rechargeable batteries. Well, you had your car battery, your lead acid battery, and pretty much at one time, that was about it. The lithium ion, the nickel cadmium, the nickel metal hydrides, they didn't exist. Was it possible to build these? Yes. They just hadn't thought about it yet. So anyway, a lot of this battery technology is moving ahead. And if you've got the magazine here in front of you, you'll see on page 63, got a pretty good little chart. We're going to get into that in just a second, comparing all these different types. Well, we all know the old EverReady Classic, and, you know, when that goes dead, that's it. You toss it in a safe container, and off it goes. And the alkaline, a little bit better, same way. Once it's dead, there's no way to recharge that. That's it. And we've consider these to be a disposable battery. So essentially, if you did take one of those batteries today and you had a battery charger and you tried to charge them and reverse the process, don't do that, number one, because you're going to have some very, very big problems with sparks and heat and smoke and things. You can't. They will not do that. That will be a big mess. Definitely not something you want to do. So you cannot reverse that chemical process. Now, a rechargeable battery, like a car battery and our new ones that we have here, nickel metal hydride, nickel cad, we reverse that process And Mike, I'm talking about process. Process what? It's like a chemical process. So basically, so just the battery is chemicals? Is that what we have here? Back to you, Mike.
And as we do that, when we charge the batteries, all we're doing is we're reversing the process, like you said, and just rearranging the structure of the molecules inside the battery. And I'm trying to find that section so I can get into it a little bit more, but I can't. Back to you, Tom.
Well, that's okay. We're jumping around here and got to pull a lot from our great knowledge here of Tech Tuesday. But not a big deal. Essentially, chemical process, like with a lead acid battery, you know, well, yeah, you have lead, you have lead oxide. That's actually the two chemicals. Lead is one of them. Lead oxide is the other. And with that acid solution provides the other chemicals to allow electricity to be available. Now, it's there. It's available. Is it going to discharge itself, or is it going to just sit there? What happens with all that? We've got this battery, we've got the chemicals, so if the electrons can't really move from one terminal to the other through, say, my headlights or my starter or something like that, it's pretty much just going to stay there waiting for me?
Well, up to a point. Now, there is what we call a discharge rate, and it has a lot of things that rate depends on. We have on the chart here self-discharge. For instance, the alkaline is less than 1% a month. So, I mean, pretty darn good. And then we go all the way up to a nickel metal hydride. Well, that's 30% self-discharge a month. So it can vary depending on which type of battery, the condition of the battery, and several other factors. Back to you, Tom.
Used to be called shelf life. And actually, like you say there with the alkaline, less than 1% per month. So essentially, you buy these alkaline batteries, maybe they were made a year ago. So they're pretty new, pretty much new. And they're going to stay that way for a long time. But chances are, if you go to the store and you buy, say, a lithium ion, and unless that, or nickel metal hydride, you know, and unless that's been charged up recently, 30% discharge per month, all on its own, chances are you're going to have to charge that. So a lot of times when we buy these chargeable, rechargeable batteries out of the store, there's some exceptions to this, but most of the time we have to charge them up before we can use them. So just like your drills or anything like that with a nickel cad or nickel metal hydrides, first thing you got to do usually is charge them up. So that self-discharge cycle probably got it on the shelf, but now we're going to charge it up, and now we're ready to go. Well, Mike, so these rechargeables that I charge them up, they run down, we charge them up, they run down. They must last forever. Oh, wait a minute. I see something called cycle life. You want to go ahead and run that by us a little bit?
Comment.
Yes, comment. Go ahead.
Yes. K6YNW here. I got some NIMH batteries from what's our local place in Anaheim? But anyway, ham radio outlet, and they have a loss of something like 0.5% per month. And I've used this bunch. I only have a set of them, and I'd say pretty reliable on that. K6YNW.
Yeah, there are some of the newer types out there. It's actually, I'm not sure if it's the nickel metal or the nickel cad. There's a group out there with a high shelf life and a very low discharge. And like I say, that's just a little bit of the exception to the rule that we have on the chart here. And those are good, too, because it's the first rechargeable they have out there that has a very, very low discharge. So, yeah, those are good, and glad you brought that up. Mike, you want to go on there with cycle life?
We'll make a comment on that, too. It's the nickel metal hydrides that have the long shelf life. There's three or four that come to mind. The one that I use is the Sanyo N-Loop. They say that they will still have 75% of their charge after sitting on the shelf for 3 years. I've got those in my little KX3 and my 817, and they work out pretty well. Well, yeah, cycle life. Well, for instance, the Alkaline, you know, that's got one cycle. You use it up, and it's gone. We've been talking about that. And then it goes, you know, like your lead acid, 200-300 cycles. NICAD, 1,000 cycles. Which really grabs me, though, is the manganese phosphate, which I've heard of, but I don't actually know anything about them. You're talking 1,000 to 2,000 cycles. So that's pretty good. And also the Sanyo end loops that I talked about that have the 75% after 3 years, they say they have up to 1,500 cycles, which is pretty cool, and they're not that pricey. Hey, back to you, Tom.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's all good. And I think one of the reasons, which we're going to mention now, we're talking about chemicals, and that actually the battery is a set of chemicals that produces electricity. And for those of you who did not have chemistry, and don't feel left out, there's a list out there of potentials, electrical potentials, and you could probably Google this thing, not that you need to, but there is probably a zillion different metals and acids and bases and different things that you can produce a battery with. So a lot of these that we use for commercial purposes and that you know about are the best of these that basically produce the best, have the best features, easy to manufacture, not expensive, all that good stuff. So, but there are actually a zillion, and I use that, of course, in exaggeration, called the Galvanic series of really good. You can see exactly what's out there. And if you did have chemistry, that's usually one of the chemistry lab things, is making a battery out of just about anything. So pretty cool. I think we've all seen the little vinegar and penny and a little thing there. You could always make one. It's kind of a little kid science project. Based on that, let me reset here real quick.
Another comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
If people recharge these batteries in an hour compared to taking 3 hours, that can make a difference to K6YNW.
Yeah, we're getting that on into that on the next page. It's called the depth of discharge and the rate of recharging definitely affects the life of this battery. So that's on the second page. That's on page, if you're following along, on page 64. And we'll make sure we hit that here in just a second. So anyway, with all this, when the battery is recharged, you're simply forcing the reaction, the chemical reaction, in the opposite direction, putting all the electrons back where they belong, and everything should be good. Well, it just doesn't quite work that way. I don't know if a couple of them get lost. No, of course not. Essentially what happens is it's not 100% restore of the chemical reaction. Getting better, though, like Mike said, manganese phosphate, 1,000 to 2,000, you know, recharge cycles, and that's good. We're looking for, that's the big quest going on right now, is a battery recharge cycle way up there. We want something that's going to last us 10, 15 years or a zillion recharge cycles. So this is where a lot of the research is going on right now. Let me reset. And another thing with batteries and what they are and what they're made of is how much power they can produce. Because obviously, you're not going to start your car with a nickel-cad battery. Not that you couldn't, okay? That's not impossible. This would be a very, very big nickel-cad battery, and it would also be very, very, very expensive. But looking at the energy here, Mike, that kind of ranges quite a bit. Now, what they do is they're rating the energy versus how much the battery weighs. So I guess that's a good relationship. There's probably other ways of doing that. But looking across there, it looks like the best battery per weight seems to be the, for right now, is the lithium ion. And what do you think about that? We've got lead acid not all that high up the chart, even though we use that probably the most.
Well, at 210, I mean, we're talking rechargeable batteries, but at 210, really, wouldn't the alkaline be the greatest specific energy per kilogram? You know, you can't do anything with them. Once they're gone, they're gone. So, yeah, that takes us to the lithium ion, and we go from there.
You know, and like I say, if anybody's ever picked up a lithium ion battery, very light. And that's, of course, why they score pretty high with the watts per kilogram or energy per weight. And the lead acid scoring very low with only 30 to 50, well, because it weighs a lot. They're heavy. And they do put out a lot of power, but they just weigh a lot. So I think with this moving into the lighter battery with a lot of power, a lot of it for electric vehicles, and they're looking for a lot of research in that. And, you know, that's where it's kind of headed there. Well, anyway, let's move on here. There's a couple other terms here, which I'll just briefly mention, and that's it. Let me reset. In the very more scientific, you'll run into coulombs and joules, and basically, which is going to break down to electrons flowing through the wire, and watt hours and things like that. But watt hours is a common term, especially if you've ever paid an electric bill. You're going to see the kilowatt hours on there. Basically, how many watts for how many hours. That's pretty simple. The coulombs and the joules and a lot of other this stuff here, yeah, yes, it's important, but not really for our topic this evening. And if you want to look into that, always do some more research. Resetting. Well, Mike, let's get into the depth of discharge. And, of course, following right up is the rate of recharge, which is both of these are going to affect our battery life. Because I guess so, I can't just run this battery down real quick and hope that everything's good, I guess. Back to you, Mike.
You can hope all you want, but I don't think that's the way it's going to work. Yeah, looking at this table, I mean, if you have the depth of discharge 100%, which is the maximum that you can discharge that battery, you reduce the life of that battery down to 500 cycles. Now, and the flip side of that, if you only discharge at 10%, which I think 10-20% is probably what a car battery will do on start. Not really, no, less than that. But anyway, you're back up to 4,700 cycles. So if you just discharge it lightly, then you get a heck of a lot more cycles. The battery will last longer than if you take it down to nothing 100% of the time. You just cut the battery life down to just about nothing compared to what it should be.
Comment.
Yeah, KF6Q, Tech 2, in the group. Yes, go ahead, comment.
Yes, K6Y and W again. Okay, but the point is, if you, you're going to be charging it 10 times as much if you only discharge it 10%, and 10 times 50, 500 is 5,000. So to me, you're in the same place, K6Y and W.
Well, if looking at the chart, that's probably right to some degree there. Depth of discharge of 100%, you have 500 cycles, and at 10%, you've got almost literally 10 times that. And, of course, you're going to have to be recharging it 10 times to get back up there. So, yeah, is it really a push-shove thing? Probably so. But like you say, with a car battery, we got to look at this in a real world. You're going to use the car battery, you're going to start the car battery, you're going to use it to start your car. From that point on, the alternator or generator, if it's an older car, the alternator is running and charging the battery back up. So you may have only run that battery down 10%, and for the rest of the time, you're going to actually keep a trickle charge or a charge going on that. So for that point there, what you end up with is basically you're going to have the battery lifetime, you know, for a lot longer. If you intentionally discharge at 100%, you take it down to, I think it's like 10.5 or 10.75, like a deep cycle battery, your battery's not going to last. It's not a matter of how many times you're going to charge. You're definitely not going to get the life out of it because there's the extent of the chemical reactions goes beyond a certain point there. So I guess that you'd have to see, well, for the actual energy output of the battery, probably kind of a balanced thing there, but of how many times you're going to put it on the charger, difference between, you know, 10 to 1 is 1 year versus 10 years. It's, you know, so it all depends on how the battery's being used, you know, and how that cycle is going to affect us. So, yeah, either way, it depends on that. I think one thing like our HC batteries, hey, we let them run down. When they're down, we charge them. Would it be better if we only ran it halfway? That's really, you know what? I really don't know, but there is a guy who does, and he's the main supporter of the information in this article. Let me reset. And that is Isidore Buckman, author of Batteries in a Portable World. And if you can get a hold of that, it's a pretty cool book. I think it's available online, too. It's basically about 150 pages, and this guy has his own company, Cadix. I have emailed him. He's a great guy, really free with the information he's got there, and he has a chart on just about everything. So he's probably compared everything under the sun, and he's always they do have a site, too, with all the information on their website, so all good stuff there. But good point, yeah. So a point of diminishing returns of basically, is it going to make a difference? Hard to say. Depends on the use of the battery, Chris, so we'll have to leave that at that. Now, how fast do you recharge the battery? Mike, I'm going to send that back to you.
Well, if you look at figure two here, you can see that the effective repeated discharge cycles on the 1500, let's see, there are different rates. Hold on a second. Yeah, it would be figure one, and it looks like we've got rates on how the discharge rates really affect the battery packs. Looks like, golly, I'm having a hard time here, Tom, finding the charge rates. So hold on, bear with me just a second. Why don't you take over on that one? I've lost myself again.
Well, I'm sorry, Mike. That was a trick question. I don't even know if he has that showing there. I'm sorry. But anyway, battery, rule of thumb is you want to charge it at one-tenth of the normal usage of that battery, normal usage rate of amps flowing out or milliamps flowing out. 10% of that. And what that is it limits the amount of current going back in. And what it's meant to do is keep the battery from overheating. Batteries do not like a lot of heat. Batteries do not like a lot of cold. Batteries are like us. We like it right around 77 degrees. And, boy, we're going to get into that effective temperature. Pretty drastic what it can do to some batteries. So the limiting the charge rate going back in, say if it's a 10 amp hour battery, rule of thumb is you can charge it at a 1 amp rate, and you're probably going to be okay. I think it's like 1/10 of its capacity. But still there, you want to use a little bit of common sense. Obviously, you don't want to be charging that battery up and have it take a week. So, yes, fast chargers that we use for our radios, not really the best thing for that battery radio. If it can sit overnight and charge on a wall board or something, much, much better. You'll get more life out of that battery. So that's just the way the chemistry is. So anyway, Mike, sorry about that, but I'll hand it back to you for recourse, and you can yell at me. This is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Comment.
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
All right, according to from the battery manufacturer's information sheet that I've read, the deeper you discharge a battery, and the more often you do that, the shorter the life of the battery is, except where you have NiCads or another type of battery that will put a floor in it if you just discharge a little bit and then throw it on a charger. The certain batteries have to be totally discharged, or you'll be going down buying new batteries. But
all the information I've read from the different battery manufacturers said that the deeper you discharge one without recharging it, the more damage you do to it. 86PL.
Yeah, you know, Harold, and of course, this all varies with different batteries. Like you say, with NiCads, and of course, there's a lot of debate on that, but NiCads are known to have a memory. However, there's arguments going on that they don't. Actually, the battery manufacturers will argue that they don't, but they sort of do, and they're actually meant to be discharged pretty down to the bottom of their cycle, and then recharged. Whereas, like lithium ion and nickel metal hydride, you know, you can run your battery down maybe 10%, pop it back in the charger, no problem. Run it down further, no problem, according to them. However, a lead acid battery in your car, if you take it beyond this point, I mean, you let this thing drain down to where it's a volt or two, there is a chemical reaction there called sulfation. And yeah, you can correct that, not by normal means. You can put that on a charger. You will never bring that battery back. The chemical reaction has caused sulfur crystals to hit the plates. It will not accept the charge now. And you've done some pretty mean damage there. We've talked about that. There's a way to recoup using the old Epsom salt method. And there's some actually special chargers that are now designed to break that up. But you have to be very careful of how far you take them down. So very good point. And yeah, batteries, boy, I don't think we'd ever have enough time to talk about all the stuff. But good information there. Appreciate that, Harold. Anyway, Mike, go ahead a little bit more with that very loaded question I gave you of discharge and recharge cycles. Go ahead, Mike.
Comment again when appropriate.
Go ahead, Chris. That's okay. I think I've got Mike and Matt at me there anyway. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. NiCads, we discharge them because they have that memory type deal. Problem I had, if I ran a battery flat, if it got below 1.2 volts, it could reverse charge. And I take a battery apart, charge each M1 up to 1.2 volts, put it together, and then charge the rest away. That was a bit of work. My NiCads lasted years and years and years, with my house burning down to solve that problem. K6YW.
Ah, well, that sounds like there was some stuff there that probably wasn't good news. But I know that with the nickel cads, you know, a lot of this stuff too, there's actually people like yourself or people out there who have literally been able to break some of that barrier. Sometimes I think it's the NiCads that'll actually short, it's like a fusing thing they do in there. If you zap them carefully, of course, with the proper methods, they can break that and they're back good again. I have a whole bunch of NiCad batteries for DeWalt drills and DeWalt cordless stuff, and I've got some that I'm either going to have to just rebuild or do something with. They've gotten to the point now where either the charge cycles or whatever, they don't seem to actually want to take that charge or even keep a charge very long. So, yeah, it's there is a point where probably of no return where, you know, you can't go back with that and just going to have to bite the bullet and get some new batteries. But, yeah, anytime you try to rejuvenate any of these, you've got to be careful. We're not going to have any recommendations on this simply for safety reasons here, but we do encourage people to do research on that. If you haven't done it, check it out. The rejuvenating factor, desulfating of a lead acid, we'll get into that real quick, real brief. But Mike, pretty much we've covered a lot of this stuff with this article for this month. Anything to add with the basic article? Go ahead, Mike.
One thing that my experience though, Tom, is I have a charger that will pulse charge the batteries, and it's good for that sulfurization. Yeah. Anyway, and what it does is it cleans off the plates, and you put it on, and it automatically, you set the charger for whatever rate you want to charge, and it even has a one you can push a button and discharge it at whatever rate you set. But very interesting, the pulse charge cleans it up and just about makes that battery new. Now, like you say, there are some points that you just can't do it. You take them to the rebuilder or rebuild it yourself, and or get a new battery. But this pulse charger works pretty well on that kind of stuff. I've saved quite a few batteries that I was ready to take down and have a little unit rebuilt. Back to you, Tom.
You know, and I actually, I thought I was going to get a hold of a battery. I know if you listen on the radio, W6AWL, Art's out there a lot on the radio from time to time. And about a year ago, he had a deep cycle. We always like to have those deep cycles because we can deep cycle them, right? So at least so much. He had one that just would not take a charge anymore, and he said the battery wasn't that old, but it had been discharged a little bit too far. Gave him a basic procedure, which involved emptying the battery and electric light out very carefully, breaking loose any of the sediment in the bottom of that thing, and reloading the battery and topping it off with just a little bit of Epsom salt mixture, saturated mixture, got rid of all the sulfur, got all the residue out of the bottom battery. Because the plates were still in good shape, pretty much like new. But if you've got a battery that's about 5-6 years old, and it's got, the battery is just worn out pretty much time, you might be able to do a couple things and extend the life for a few more months, but pretty much the chemical reaction has reached that point. That sediment in the bottom, that's the stuff that didn't quite make it back into where it was supposed to go, and that's why that sediment's there. If that magically would never show up and it would go back where it's supposed to be, we'd have that one of those batteries that lasts forever, but so far it just doesn't happen. Anyway, anybody out there, appreciate all the comments, because there's a bunch of stuff on batteries that we can just barely touch the surface of, but any other information or questions, please come back to KF6Q and the group.
AG6PL.
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
Right. Do you have battery packs that you may need rebuilt or refurbished? There's a first-class shop here in Riverside. It's a NICAD lady. She's a member of the Riverside Club, her and her husband. And you can walk right in with a caller, go online, find out how to contact her. She'll answer questions for you. My understanding is, anyway, you call with questions, she'll answer your questions for you, help you out as much as she can over the phone. And you might, just for the heck of it, type in on your Google machine, paper batteries. They're making batteries on single sheets of paper now, AD6PL.
That's got to be incredible. NICAD lady, I have seen her site. Did not know she was in Riverside, this area. And, you know, when you go and you find somebody online, it's that mystical ether land where they don't really physically exist, but until you order something and then it ships from someplace and it takes forever. Well, that's very cool. Did not know she was in Riverside, and good to know that. You know, and this is one thing, too. There's a great similarity between the NICADs and the nickel metal hydrides, only in the voltage level. Nothing to do with the chemistry or the discharge cycles. And there are certain applications where you can replace them one-on-one. They both have about a 1.2 cell volt, I believe. So, and a lot of the chargers will work on both. But like I said, you know, you have to kind of going into, new territory there, so, you know, check that out before you venture out there, but, yeah, I think the, basically, you get a little more with the cycles, charge cycles with the nickel metal hydrides, and I think there is some equipment that you could probably swap them out, carefully, and, of course, the nickel CADs, you've got a peak load that's a little bit higher, so, like I said, sometimes it's just best to leave best alone and replace them with exactly what came with them. So anyway, a lot of good stuff there. Any other comments, questions, or suggestions, please come back.
AD6PL equipment.
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
Yeah, you just touched on something that I haven't done it, but I've heard of it happening. Before you put a rechargeable in a charger, you want to check the specs on both of them, the battery and the charger, and make sure they're compatible, because Lions won't charge in a NiCad charger, I don't believe. You could end up with Homeland Security wanting to know why you're setting off explosions if you stick the wrong battery in the wrong charger. AD6PL.
Agree?
Yes, Chris, you concur with that.
Yes, the charger I've had that take both, you have to throw a switch for one to the other, and I didn't throw the switch and I lost one battery, a couple of battery set. K6YW.
A very good point. Now, I will say one thing that I have tried and have had success. Now, my Yaesu FT60 hand talkie, HD, comes with a nickel metal hydride pack. Now, you can buy a nickel lithium ion pack now, you know, much higher capacity, and I have actually replaced them with lithium ions. Now, the way the batteries are, by nature, they're completely different. But the way they are arranged in the battery pack, you know, it's in a pack that's already prefabricated, and I've actually used them in my quick charger for nickel metal hydride to great success. Tried it once, nothing blew up, actually charged the battery. And the only thing is, with the nickel metal hydride, the one that it was made for, when the battery's done, it is ready, the red light turns to green, and the green light stays on. The nickel metal hydrides, I mean the lithium ions, the red light will turn to green, and then after that, it'll actually just go out. There's no light on. Kind of strange. However, they are fully charged, and they go up to actually about 8.3 or something. So far, so good. Been doing this actually for about a year. So for my experiment, it has worked. But they do make a specific quick charger for lithium ion for the HTs, and probably changes the charge cycle a little bit. But anyway, so far, so good. So, but if you actually experiment with that, you have to be very careful. Good chance you can burn something up. Yourself, your batteries, hopefully nothing more than that, and you know, so always try to stick within, get all the information you can before you venture out there on that. Of course, if you stick to what it's made for, chances are everything should work okay. Any other comments or suggestions or questions, et cetera, please come back. All right, anyway, we're getting close to 8 o'clock here, and like I said, batteries, my gosh, we just basically scratched the surface of probably a huge amount of information, but do a search on Cadex Electronics, or Isidore Buchanan, or just do the batteries in a portable world, because that's why we have batteries for basically stuff like this, and it's a very good book. I'm looking at the title page right now. It's a handbook on rechargeable batteries for non-engineers. Well, what does that mean? Well, exactly. We want to keep it simple, easy for us to understand. Don't need all the math, just some basic stuff, and so we know what to do. And I got to tell you, it's a great book. 149 pages. And you can email this guy. He will get back to you. He's really good with the public there, so the guy has a wealth of information. If he doesn't know it, well, I'll guarantee you there's probably someplace out there it does, but you're going to probably take you forever to find it. So, all right. Well, anyway, last call for any questions or comments before we close the net. This is KF6Q.
AG6PL.
Okay, Harold, go ahead.
Yeah, the NICAD lady's name is Grace, and her call is N6 WPA, I believe, AD6PL.
Well, Well, good deal. Thanks for that information. And, of course, you can also Google NICAD lady, and you'll probably come up with her websites and all the good stuff and information there. And good to know, because basically, sometimes it's very difficult and, if not, daunting and intimidating trying to rebuild one of these batteries. So we don't feel good about it. Harold, great information there, and she's right here in Riverside. And like you say, just a phone call away, too. So that's good to know. Anyway, last call. Any questions or comments? All right, well, I want to thank everybody, Chris, Harold, everybody out. Questions and comments, because I'll guarantee you there's a lot of stuff there. Good points you brought up and a lot of good information there. Appreciate that. And, of course, we'll probably touch on this battery issue again next month when the other issue comes out. And we'll kind of kick back a little bit on this and see what else he's got. He's got some more stuff in the works. It looks like it'd be pretty good. And, we'll get on more on that. Anyway, in the meantime, you know, I hope you can all come back and join us next Tuesday. We'll have some more great information. We do not have a topic picked out for that yet, but as always, we'll be probably pulling it out of the March issue of QST, and a lot of good stuff in here still. Like I say, we never, ever, you know, seem to be able to get all the stuff out of these in 1 month, but this is interesting. The 11-square-foot ham shack, that is a small ham shack. That's another article in there. Check that out. All right. Well, glad everybody could join us. So we'll be closing the net with a quick QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KL6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. Thanks again for everybody for all the comments and joining us this evening. We'll be closing the net at 1900 hours and 56 minutes and returning the repeater back to normal use. Thanks for joining us.
By the way, I went to key up the repeater and I couldn't get anything. Then I found out it makes a difference if the antenna is plugged in. K6 wanted to be.